Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And we learned over the weekend that Brian Williams is taking a few days off while NBC News investigates his possibly trumped-up stories about being in danger in Iraq.
I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft.
This saga, to me, is at once irresistible. It's deeply sad and a stratospheric fall from grace. It's almost Shakespearean. How strange these network anchors are in our time. Princely Hamlets, both anointed and burdened with a role that outwardly confers its significance, but inwardly denies it, apparently. I succumbed to the temptation to nastily tweet along with the gleeful multitudes last week, but Williams' credibility crisis goes deeper than petty online graffiti. And it's a bit personal in my case. I went to school with a kid named Brian Williams. No relation. He was perfect, though. Grades, grooming, penmanship, anointed for greatness. And in 1993, when I came to New York and started working in television, I ran into a rising star named Brian Williams almost immediately. Different guy, of course. But this perfection haunted me. Brian Williams was hired at NBC News the same year I was hired at ABC News. The word was that someday he would replace the untouchable Tom Brokaw. Brian Williams was the one.
That was a great story. For them and for us, it's personal.
In late August of 1996, I was in Chicago as part of MSNBC's coverage of the Democratic National Convention. I was anchoring specials on politics nestled in and around Brian's primetime coverage. On the night before President Clinton's ritual official nomination, I came back to the hotel to find Brian beaming with an almost giddy smile. "It's happened," he said to me. "This is the big one. This is why I got into this business." Brian and most of the press corps were ecstatic over what came to be known and then quickly forgotten as the Dick Morris scandal. Whether he meant it or not, when he said that such gotcha moments were why he got into broadcasting, I knew it was not why I had become a journalist. In fact, by 1996, I was wondering exactly why I had gotten into television from radio, as it was becoming clear that there were rocky roads ahead for the whole profession, especially this idea of the anchor.
Nightly news begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams.
I've worked with TV anchors, and they all have enormous burdens of destiny and identity to carry. Dan Rather was the first storm chaser from local TV to make it at the network. Peter Jennings was in his 20s when he was tapped for the anchor chair at ABC for the first time and was always uneasy about his inexperience and that he had no college degree. It was an insecurity he worked hard in the field to eventually overcome. Tom Brokaw was a veteran beat reporter, but he was co-host of the chatty Today Show, as much about celebrities and recipes as news, when he became the sole face of NBC Nightly News in 1983. Brokaw rose to the top and eventually got his creds by writing the Greatest Generation books. They were stories of World War II told by people who had been in the thick of it to a network anchor who openly wondered if there was something wanting in the people of his generation. Those books solidified Brokaw as a person beyond TV, and it helped catapult NBC to number one. Brian Williams watched all of this. I can only wonder what special burdens of identity he carried. It was such a foregone conclusion that he was to be anchor after Brokaw that his foibles and elitist tendencies were deemed trivial. Brian rubbed shoulders with Jack Welch at GE. He went on Leno and, we were told, took the GE jet to exotic locations to shoot his stand-up segments. His live vamps and his often overlong interview questions were tolerated while people admired his sense of humor and his ability to always look perfect. But here's the Shakespeare part. If it's true that he lied about his experience in Iraq, you have to wonder why someone at the top of his profession, with enough awards, ratings, and compensation for three careers in journalism, would try and grab some ultimate brass ring. Did he so covet the near-death experiences in Iraq of Bob Simon, Bob Woodruff, and Kimberly Dozier, and others, that he had to invent being fired on in a chopper, invent fearing for his life, concoct some melodramatic shrapnel wounds from one of America's most troublesome conflicts? Does this get you into some new greatest generation?
This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
Williams has given us an ultimate Dick Morris Twitter moment about himself. And that's the irony. Whether true or not, Williams' focus on his own story may have delayed him from understanding the wars themselves were misguided. Had he been first with that story, he might have qualified to be in the greatest generation after all. It's not clear how this investigation will turn out or what the future of the last real TV news star will be, but after almost 25 years of wondering, it's clear to me now that Brian Williams is no Brian Williams.